You know, it's quite a challenge teaching Dharma to a lay audience and getting the balance right so that you get what you need and also what you want. It's not easy. You know, the Buddha makes no apologies for what it was that he teaches. He's teaching the path that leads to the causal cessation of suffering. That is a great endeavor, but it's not something that arises in the mind of everybody to strive towards. We may not even understand what it means. I would probably hasten to say that, but most people practicing meditation would not even stop to think that that is what, of course, there's many types of meditation, not only the way the Buddha taught us, but he taught by far the most comprehensive way of cultivating our mind. And he taught it with one single goal. He taught it with the single aspiration to lead, to point to, explain, and bring those people who practiced to the realization of the cessation of suffering. He wasn't that interested in teaching people for their welfare in the here and now. Now, most of you are seeking the welfare in the here and now. You do not realize that through meditation. Your welfare in the here and now is a result of your accumulation of merit in the past. Whatever good deeds you've accumulated must have been great to have a fortunate life such as this. It's rare and hard to come by. It's very unlikely that you will produce as much merit in this life as you produce to achieve this life. So this life is the life in which we are cashing in on our good fortune. Sometime in the future, to have to reacquire such good fortune again. Now, the point at which we might come to the realization, I'm tired of suffering, that's an axiomatic moment in everyone's journey. I can't tell you at what point that realization is going to arise in you, unless we get to know each other very well. You have to decide for yourself to what end you are practicing. If you are practicing for your welfare in the here and now, and your welfare in the future, that is realized through merit, through virtue, through the way in which you conduct yourself, through the things that you choose to do. This path, this practice that the Buddha teaches, is for the purposes of cutting off your attachment to your idea of yourself, not for the purposes of refining it. Now that violates some of us. At some point, you know, the insight cuts to a point where we feel violated by that. You what? And we don't feel ready. It hasn't even occurred to us to relinquish this idea of myself. It might not even occur to us that we've caused 90% of our own suffering ourselves, and that our idea of ourselves is the root of that, root cause of that suffering. But if and when it arises in us, what the cause of our suffering is, and we tire of that suffering, and with conviction, we decide, I seek the cessation of suffering. At that point, the Dharma points very directly to that end. So, there are times when it feels quite brutal in its incisiveness. Insight is sharp and it cuts deeply. Now, I'm not going to give that sharp, deep-cutting insight here this week, because I can see that it needs to be given in a timely way. When it comes to you, each one of you individually, that's the path that you seek to walk. Now, I can explain to you and point towards it, but And this is a very delicate thing. You know, I grapple with this all the time. You know, my teacher was not at all apologetic about the fact that the only reason he was teaching was to bring us to the point of the cessation of suffering. And so was the Buddha. Now, I want you to get to that point as well, but I realize it may not have risen in you yet, the aspiration for such. You may have worldly things that you wish to pursue. I'm sure that you do. In which case, my responsibility now becomes to teach you what are the grounds by which your worldly pursuits might bring you to suffering, and what are the grounds that you might have some hope that your aspirations could turn into fulfillment and that you might actually be satisfied by them. It is very rare and hard to live the life of the pursuit of our personal desires and get to the point of being pleased by that pursuit. This is why the Buddha himself came to the conclusion that we should all, as quickly as possible, tire of that. Now, I'm also not going to make an apology of the fact that I consider now to be an extremely timely, you know, it's appropriate time to be practicing the cutting off of the pursuit of our desires, or at least learning to curtail or restrain them to a point where they become appropriate. Because the cost of a human being now is much too much for this planet to continue to bear indefinitely. So, you know, the footprint that we make in the time that we spend here needs to lessen significantly for our life not to be a detriment. And then we have to make merit in order for our life to become a benefit. So, you know, the grounds for creating or living a life that is a field of merit are much harder now than they were 50 years ago. Because the cost of us being here is so great that what it takes to uphold this life, there is already a great debt in just being here. So the giving back that is required of us now is not a merit. It's, you know, it's the cost of being here. So when we give of ourselves now, we should be thinking in terms of, am I giving in alignment with what I am taking out? So that my life at least stays in a state of balance where I would not expect my good fortunes to wane. At least try to get yourself to this place in this life. You know, my concern for the well-being of all of you, all of us, is that we at least reach that place. You know, if you are finding life hard now, life gets much harder than this, folks. If you're finding the very fortunate human life that you now have challenging, then you are not equipped for a life that is considerably more challenging than this. Therefore, guard well the ground that this fortunate life stands upon. And be sure you do not bring yourself to more suffering than you are already experiencing. Because many times, and there are countless beings that suffer considerably more than you do, I wonder how hard they find their life. Now, while you have the capacity to understand the Dhamma the way you are, to come and practice in such comfort, to give up so little in order to come, while you have the ease and the convenience and the time and the opportunity to do it, I would say it's worth doing. But I can't do more than encourage you. I get criticized no end because I'm very well aware that this Dhamma is hard to understand. Once you know, you know. When you don't know, you don't know. And, you know, it isn't easy to explain to someone who has no idea about the cause of their suffering our decision to try to live in such a way that we would not bring ourselves or others to suffering. You know, it is an extremely challenging thing, and I'm still grappling with it after 20 years of teaching this, trying to find the correct balance in what it is that I should be teaching you. So, this is why I write on the board, what do you want? You know, I was taught the path in its entirety, without any apologies, that cut very deeply through our intoxication with ourselves and pulls away the ground that our ego stands upon. Now, that can be extremely challenging, but it is the path to the cessation of suffering. You know, the Buddha never once apologized for it. So, last November I finished a round. It took 10 years to instruct a group of people thoroughly in the practice of insight and wisdom and samatha. The entire practice of vipassana takes a long time to teach and a long time to practice. And that was a group of people that took them 10 years to fully figure out and fathom what it was the Buddha was actually asking of us. So now I start working with a new group of people, and I have to, you know, I have to ask you what it is that you want. You haven't come to me. You know, I put up on the website, come and learn the art of meditation. Therefore, it is my bad that I didn't say, come and learn the path out of suffering. Because many of you will have come simply for the purposes of learning meditation. So, that being said, you know, you may not want yet to hear the Dhamma that cuts through. You might just want to learn to meditate. So with that in mind, I at least want to give you some perspective, because I want you to make wise decisions about your life. So effectively, there are four directions that you could head from here. You could establish yourself in insight sufficiently here this week that it comes to you, I see the cause of suffering, I understand what is its cessation, and I seek to pursue the cessation of that suffering. In which case you want to follow the Buddha's advice. It comes to you, I recognize the cause of suffering. My attachment to myself and my worldly pursuits is thus still strong. I seek virtuously to continue to pursue that in a way that is not to the detriment of myself or others. And you make an extremely strong commitment to virtue, because only upon your virtue does your welfare stand. And this you will come to understand as we progress through this course. If you realize, if I organize myself nicely and I learn through mindfulness and meditation to stay on top of my unmanageable states of stress, I might be able to continue to pursue my desires in the way that I pursue them currently. Now, that would not be for your welfare, and that would be that would be to your detriment. Because currently the pursuit of our desires is far in excess of what is appropriate. So, you know, and this is the bad about the way we've removed the essence of the Dhamma and offered up the teachings in how to organize ourselves well so that we can get back on the wheel and continue to pursue our desires in the same way we have in the past. That would have been okay if the way we were living our life was appropriate and sustainable. But it isn't, is it? So to teach you meditation just for the purposes of maintaining your own sense of well-being is not enough, in my opinion. Because if I don't give you or help you to come to the insight that prompts you to change significantly, then I haven't served you as a teacher, because we are being asked to change and we aren't changing. You know, in the same way that recognizing we shouldn't be angry isn't enough to stop us being angry, recognizing that we need to significantly change the way we live our lives isn't enough to prompt us to significantly change the way we live our lives. Otherwise, we would have done it by now, wouldn't we? Because it's so clear to us that we need to change. So, you know, and then, so this is where I have to find this delicate balance. Do I give you enough insight that prompts in you a real conviction, I need to change, this needs to change, and then you carry the burden of knowing that you need to? That is a weight, but it is much better than apathy. Not feeling I have the energy within me to change when I know I need to is more than just ignorance. Not knowing that I need to change is ignorance, fair enough. There was a time when we didn't know what we were doing. But when it gets to the point where we know what we are doing and don't change, this is apathy. And apathy is the lowest form of consciousness. So at least let's not fool ourselves into apathy. Yeah? Let's at least be willing to take enough accountability for ourselves that we bring ourselves into a point where we can put our head on the pillow at night, fully aware of the implications of the choices that we make and taking full accountability for it. That, I feel, would be a fair compromise. But for me to teach anything less than that, I feel, would be to give you, to do a disservice to the Dharma and a disservice to you. Because you've come here and you're standing in front of somebody who knows how to teach the Dharma. And then for me to not teach it, at least to the point where you know what is wise decision and what is an unwise decision, and you hold in your hand, you know, enough understanding to make those wise decisions, then I would not have served you well as your teacher. So, you know, this is where we stand. You know, it wasn't, you know, I'm not doing this because I want to fix you of all your worldly ailments. There are plenty of people out there who can help you with that. I'm doing this because I am concerned for the welfare of all of us. And, you know, only for that reason am I doing it. It's extremely vexing and very exhausting to teach Dharma. As the Buddha said, he almost didn't do it himself. If he hadn't been very strongly prompted, he was on his way up to the mountaintop to just go and chill very hard, having made the reflection that this Dharma is deep and profound and hard to understand. If I was to explain it to others, it would be most vexing to them and vexing to me. So, you know, with heart, I put this question to you. You know, because I realize that it is a burden of responsibility, and you know, you are householders and you have great commitments already in the life that you have. So, you know, not all of you are in a position to just embark upon that path. But you are in a position to sow the seeds for your welfare, at least to get to the point where your welfare does not roll back into a diminishing of your good fortune. It will take great tenacity and a lot of giving up to come to this good fortune again. I want at least you to know that. But, you know, we do not need this much good fortune to be extremely happy. You know, I've just come back from Burma, where I don't think I met anybody who had more than they needed. And I didn't meet one unhappy person whilst I was there. You know, so at another level, we don't need everything that we've got. We just want to be happy. And, you know, this planet wants us to be happy. And it knows, we all know that if we're going to be happy, we're going to need to be happy with less. So there isn't anything in that that isn't in accordance with the Dharma.